the main event, bitches.
We've been waiting a long time to tell you this. I have career news. I have been demoted.
Well, no, wait.
It was a voluntary demotion.
There
I
you
wanted
go.
To be, that's what I'm choosing to call it, is a voluntary demotion. And I am living for it and laughing for it and loving for it. So this is probably going to be two, maybe three parts of, we can just title it the voluntary demotion.
I'm so excited and so sad. Okay, so I want you to lead this because I don't know what you're willing to share, planning on sharing. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to say
shit
that I don't.
Pretty much like all of it, actually.
Okay, should we start at the beginning?
No, like we are. Like,
okay,
we're going to fully start at the beginning.
Because let me go get a topo.
Okay.
Okay, okay. I'm so excited. I'm back with my topo. Let us continue.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to start from the beginning. I've put a lot of thought into this because I wrote about it for Substack. And like before I made it public, I was like, I just need to like word vomit everything that happened and everything I'm feeling and everything going on to be able to like process like how I want to discuss this and which things were relevant and whatever. So we are going to start in May of 2024. That's where we're starting.
Okay.
So let me actually explain where we ended so you kind of know the journey that we're on. So if you know me, know that I started teaching in 2019, kind of dramatically, not impulsively, but dramatically quit that teaching job in February of 2022. There's episodes on this podcast about it. Mm-hmm. I crashed out on the internet about it. I came back to teaching in August of 2023. So like a year and some change later, the 23 to 24 school year was difficult, but really good. Like it was difficult because I was learning two new curriculums at one time, but I did not feel like my administrators were making my life more difficult. It was difficult because my classes were a lot bigger. But again, I felt like when I went and needed support, I was getting it more so than I had at my other school. May of 2024, I finished my first year at my current school back in the classroom. And I'm like, I'm so happy I'm here. I love my life. This school is exactly what I need because there were a lot of factors that I really liked. I had a very long planning period. I had 85 minutes per day alone planning, which is unheard of in education. And I felt like the instruction I gave that year was truly the best I've given in my entire life. Even though I was learning two new curriculums, like APUSH, there were so many resources out there, which was awesome as well because I had never had that. Like, teaching a state-specific curriculum. And honestly, I'm not going to say curriculum. Teaching state-specific standards with no curriculum given at all is hard, and that's what I was used to. So when I started teaching APUSH, and there's all these Facebook groups, there's AP Classroom, I bought a bunch of cool stuff on Teachers Pay Teachers. Like, I just felt like I had, like, ascended and, like, I made it. And I was like, oh, I finally got it. Like, a good teaching position. I was like, I'm going to stay at this school. My life is fabulous. My principal gave me a Miss Congeniality Award, which was hilarious. Like, he literally had a trophy made up and everything. And I was just, like, truly living my best life. And I started, it's so funny to look at now. I started going to therapy in June of 2024 for other shit. And she told me, my therapist, she was like, a lot of my clients are teachers and like we talk a lot about work. So I literally in my intake appointment was like, I don't really have any problems there. Like teaching is a stressful job, but like I love my school. Like I went in so positive. Then July of 2024, a principal who I love so much because he really just was like, wow, you really care about this job. Do your thing, girl. Like he just like trusted that I cared and was a professional, and he observed me like three times within the first month I got hired, which I don't think is inappropriate with a new hire to just like, because it was, he didn't do like a formal critique one. He was just like popping in and he was like, you're amazing at this. Like, I'm so happy I hired you, whatever. So I felt like I was in such a good place. And then July of 2024, we get this email that's like, we're having, it was like a week before pre-planning started. It was like late July. We get this email saying like, oh, we have an important update we need to share. So we're going to have like a virtual meeting. It was on Teams because Teams sucks. And of course, that's what we use. And so I go in the meeting and I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, I'm scared because I don't know if you all know this, but at my first school, I was hired by a principal that was like very chill and very cool, who I really liked. And then after my first year there? Yeah, it was after my first year there. The district moved him to another school and we got a different principal that I did not enjoy. I'll leave it at that. There's other episodes you can go back and listen to about why I did not enjoy. So I like immediately started freaking out when I got the meeting invite because I was like, it just feels like deja vu. And I like just felt like unless it was going to be some major change or some major thing, why would you call this random Microsoft Teams meeting with 2 days notice in the summer? And I know some districts do summer PD. Mine does not. Like, that's not mandatory. So it was very odd. And it was kind of what I predicted. Our principal basically got on camera and said that he had a health scare a month before. And for him and his family, he was choosing to step down from his position. So I literally have zero ill will towards him at all, because I probably would have done the exact same thing if I was in his shoes. And he had a health scare while he was away at a conference and had to be hospitalized like states away. Like, it seemed like a lot for him, and he had been having some health issues. And so on the meeting, they announce so my district doesn't do vice principal. They were doing like a thing called API, the AP over instruction, who's like the mega AP, I guess. So our API, they announced she's going to become the interim principal. And so I love her. She was incredible. So I was like, okay, things are going to be fine. Like, we're good. Someone that like I like is going into this position. When I said earlier, like, I felt really supported, that a lot of that was her. Like, if I ever went to her with behavioral issues, she would always handle it. I had a situation that she really like shielded me from, where a group of kids went and met with her to complain about me, saying that my work was too hard and my class was too hard and lots of that stuff. And she took their little Chromebooks and looked through the work that I gave, and then she went and looked at my grade book and looked at the feedback I was giving and stuff. And she never told me about the kids coming to meet with her. The next day, she called me in her office and said, I just wanted to say, I think you're doing a phenomenal job. I saw some of the work you're giving your students. I think it's amazing. I love how you're challenging them. And I found out later that she did that because kids complained. So I like loved the way that she handled that she really validated the kids, looked into it with them. She helped them with the work, like, but didn't make it my fault or like shame me for holding high expectations. Cause what it was plagiarism. A lot of those kids were plagiarizing and I was like really not putting up with it. So when she looked in the grade book and saw that pretty much everyone who didn't plagiarize was at least getting like 70s, 80s, 90s, she was like very much on my side. So seeing that she was going to become our interim principal, I was like, slay rock star, like, this is scary, but it'll be okay. So the school year starts, we're doing our thing. It's like going pretty good, pretty fine. And we were all aware that they were in the process of interviewing for a new principal, and our interim principal was interviewing and had gone through like 3 rounds of interviews. And a couple things happened that were just like odd, because our Dr. Girl, that's what we'll call her. Dr. Girl was like really phenomenal at running our building. Like, parents really respected her. Kids really respected her. I felt like our hallways were safe. Our bathrooms were safe. Our lunch ran smooth if she was there. And then I started to notice, like, maybe 3 weeks into the school year, our district was pulling her out of the building very frequently, like 2 to 3 days a week. And so we were like struggling because we were also down in AP, because not only did our principal change positions, he now works in like athletics. He still works for the district, but not in the same capacity. So not only did our principal leave, one of our APs got promoted to a job in like the data office at the district. So like, we were already down one admin, and then now you're taking our interim principal multiple days a week. So we just did not have enough admin presence in the building. So like, things were just starting to not run as smooth. Like, hallway walking was getting worse, but then the interim principal, she'd come back and the next day it was fine. Like, it was very hot and cold. And then there was an incident that I don't want to share too much detail about. One, because I don't know a ton of detail about it. I wasn't there when it happened. And two, just because it involves children. There were kids that had gotten into a physical altercation in the morning. The admin had them separated the entire day, like managed for it to not get worse. But then after dismissal across the street from the school, one of the kids was extremely violent towards the other and EMS had to be called. And so... about a week after that happened, Dr. Girl was like barely in the building. Like, she was at the district office pretty much every day after that. And at this point, she told us that she had completed all her interviews and hadn't heard anything. And they just said, like, we haven't made a decision. And so by now it's, I think, maybe like October. And so I wake up one day and we have a message saying that we have a Teams meeting at 7:45 a.m. before school starts. And the invite is from the area superintendent. And so I was like, okay, interesting. For context, another thing going on this year is my district introduced PLCs, which is like the professional learning community. So instead of having 5 days a week of planning to myself, 2 days a week, I had to go in the PLC room and like co-plan with everyone. I'm not against this in theory, but I'm the only person at my school that's teaching AP US history. So like, leave me alone. And I'm just not a group work person. I think for the majority of people, it makes their life easier, but for me, it makes it harder. And I did have one section of a class that another teacher taught the same section. She had more of them, but me and her were honestly really good at collaborating over email. Me and her are kind of very similar personality types, and we really like to make our own things, email each other everything we have, and then pick and choose from each other. And my district really wants the model where it's like you're doing the same thing on the same day. You have the same assessment. So for the first like August, September and October, all we had to do was go in that room. Like we didn't have extra paperwork to fill out. We didn't have things to submit. We were just supposed to be planning 2 days a week in there. And my interim principal was like, I know a lot of you hate it. I appreciate you sticking with me. I know you don't really know why you're in here, but I really appreciate that you're doing it. And like you could tell she knew we didn't like it, and she was kind of trying to like do what her boss was saying, but also validate that we were like not a fan of this, which I appreciated at least that. And I went to my department head about it, and I was like, I'm really, really, really struggling with this, because within 2 months of school, I was just like not doing as well as I had the previous year because I didn't have the amount of time. Like I just couldn't focus in there, and like a task. So let's take an example of grading. Let's say I need to grade a worksheet. If I'm alone in my classroom and the Real Housewives are screaming at each other on my phone and I have my AirPods in, I can knock through that task in 30 minutes. In the PLC room, it will take me about an hour and 20 minutes. So everyone was telling me like, I see you in there, you look fine, you're working. But I was like, I don't know how to explain to you guys that like I'm literally a machine and like I can't be that in this room. So it was like 2 months into the school year, I had not contacted a single parent the entire year. I had thrown away a ton of kids' papers because I didn't have time to grade them. I hadn't started writing instruction at all, which my major goal for the school year was to be better at teaching writing. It was just going really horribly and I was just feeling a lot of stress. So I went to my department head and I was like, I'm really, really struggling with PLCs. Like it just doesn't work for me. Like it's just not working for me. And I felt really frustrated because the previous year I had really dramatically increased test scores. No one passed the APUSH exam for 5 years at my school. And in my first year, 39% of my kids passed. So I just felt really like frustrated that I was like, clearly I'm effective. I'm trying to communicate that this is preventing me from being effective. And all I was getting was like, you'll get used to it. This is part of teaching. And I was just like, the thing that's the most important to me in the world is like doing a good job for my students. So being there and feeling that it was not landing the way I know I'm capable of making it land was just like killing me. And then the other thing is it's overstimulating to be surrounded by 25, 30 children. So I really, really need my planning period to be alone. Like aside from workload, for me to be like emotionally regulated and show up for my students and answer every question and be there and be fast paced, I need that. Not downtime, because I would work literally head down working the entire hour and a half every single day, but like just a quiet work environment for part of the day. And I just felt like no one understood that, but they would try and like tell me that they're like, yeah, I'm struggling too. It'll get better. But I just started to feel like really not good. But I'm still going to the things. I'm still sticking with it. I start talking to my therapist and she's like, just put your AirPods in, try and focus. And then I came to like, I was like, okay, this is my new strategy. All the tasks that are outside of my room, I'm going to save those for PLC days. So what I started doing was going, dropping my stuff off, putting my laptop down, saying hi to everyone, and then going to make my copies for the week. Or if I needed to go to the front office or speak to the bookkeeper, if I needed to call someone about, like I would try and do, if I needed to help with a bulletin board in the hallway, I would try and save things for that time because I was like, I know I cannot plan in here. I tried so many times. I did plan 3 lessons in there. I delivered one of them. It was one of the worst lessons I've delivered in my entire life. It was clunky. There were typos. It made no sense. And so I was like, this is not a place I can plan. What else can I do during this time? So I felt like for the first couple months of school, I really was trying to make it work for me. I think if you asked my admin, they would be like, she didn't try at all because I wasn't doing what they wanted. But I don't think I got credit for like how much I was doing to try and make it work in a way that was going to like best serve my students. And so I'm like already kind of in this place where I'm like, oh my God, things are not good. I'm like starting to get deja vu about my old district that was like very micromanaging, because that's specifically why I chose to work in the district I work in. Even though the district I work in has a very horrible reputation, they were known for not doing like scripted lessons and things like that. Like they gave teachers a lot of autonomy. So that's why I work here. They also, the year that I got hired, got a new superintendent, and it appears he's not really on that vibe, which I struggle to even talk about this because I try and put myself in the shoes of a superintendent and people like that. And I'm like, and I look at what I observe in my district, and what I observe is a lot of teachers not doing any planning, a lot of teachers not reflecting on student data. And like, yeah, you do have to do something. So I was aware that like, I didn't think the decisions they were making were necessarily harmful or evil or horrible. They just literally didn't work for me. So it was like, I didn't want to be like, this is horrible, because most teachers at my school hated it. But the very few teachers at my school who do teach the same thing as another person did like it. And I think that's what's required for PLC to work. I think if you were not teaching this exact same content as your colleague, it just does not work, because that's not how it's designed. It's very much like square in a circle peg situation to me. So I'm like in this place where I'm like, okay, I'm feeling a lot of stress. I feel like I'm doing a worse job serving my students. I also did not have air conditioning in my classroom. So it was like 80 degrees every day. I was spending hours a day calling the district, yelling at them about my AC. I eventually did get, this is one of my biggest accomplishments in my career, I got the district to spend $13,000 on window units for our entire hallway and redo the electrical of our entire hallway, because they told me that the piece they needed to fix our air conditioning was on back order for 7 months. And I said, so what's the plan for the next 7 months? And I got them to do that. And like, literally, I felt like a hero that day. And that is also because the interim principal, I had been complaining to her about it, but because I really liked her and she was up for the job, I was like, I really don't want to go above your head. Like, I really don't want to go above your head. I really respect you. I don't want to do that. And after like 3 weeks, she called me into her office and she goes, I want you to soar above my head. I want you to soar so far. And
I've been
so
there.
And so I did, and like I got it done. So I felt like I was getting all these challenges the first 2 months of school that were not really anyone's fault, but were just hard to manage. And then in October, I come into work and I actually woke up and saw it on my phone. We have this virtual meeting at 7:45 a.m. and the invite came from the area superintendent. And I said, oh, that's probably not good. And this is horrible, but you guys are teachers. You'll know what I'm thinking. I thought one of two things is happening. Something violent happened, or somebody died, or there's a staff change. Like, why else?
I mean, it's something egregious and crazy.
Like, why? And it was on a Friday morning, too. You know?
Yeah. No, it's like every single time they put something like that on your calendar, it's like you need to know why, because it's anxiety inducing.
And so I got to work super early. A lot of teachers just listened into the meeting on their phone, but I was like, I want to get there and get set up for the day before the meeting, because I have a feeling I will need some moments to process, and I didn't want to like meeting set up kids. So I like got there early, got my slides up, my shit out, whatever I do for a living. And then I joined the meeting. None of our admin is there. It's just the teachers and the area superintendent. And he goes, I wanted to announce to you all that you have a new principal. We hired Dr. Mann. Dr. Girl is now at a job position in the office. She will no longer be reporting to your building, and her office has already been cleaned out. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so this Teams call was the most insane thing I've experienced. Naturally, everyone starts freaking out, because they did have teachers, or two teachers I found out later, on like the hiring committee, and everyone from our school recommended our interim principal, every single person that was on the committee. There were multiple people. I think it was like two teachers, one other office person. There were like a couple people that were involved in the hiring process. All of them recommended my interim principal. And so, and I felt like they, and this is like the echo of a lot of the community as well, the situation that happened with the student being violent towards the other one off campus, that was the rationale they gave us for why she was not hired. They were like, safety is our number one priority.
But wait, she didn't do anything.
And it was off campus 15 minutes after the school day ended.
Right. Like, that's really weird, in my opinion.
So that's what I felt like. I was like,
like, are they gaslighting you?
Yeah. And no one said that to me. That was like chatter that I heard. So I don't know if that's the case. So then on the team's call, someone asked, is Dr. Girl going to be able to come like say bye to the students? Because she's worked there for years and these kids love her. And they said, nope, we just want a smooth transition. So her office has already been cleaned out. You won't be seeing her again.
What the fuck?
And then people start like freaking out on their call. They're like, this is really unprofessional. What's going on? Like, when is our new principal going to be here? Who's going to announce this to students? And he goes, we're going to leave it to y'all to announce it to the students. I wish I could be in your building today, but I have a leadership synergy something that I'm going to be going to. And then people are like kind of popping off, like the chat's going crazy. People are coming off mute saying like, I cannot believe you. This is being handled this way. I am disgusted by this. Like, the energy in the studio definitely started to shift. Meanwhile, I'm like Googling the new principal. I'm like, who are you? I'm like already in the Facebook right. group from his old school.
Right.
And so they say, this is also right before we had, it wasn't a full break, but it was like, I think like a long, like a 4-day weekend or something. Yeah. It's like a little fall break. And they say like, your new principal is going to be there after that break. Yeah. And so we're all just like, this was weird. Like, this was very weird that this was done this way.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then, so as people are like putting some heat on the area superintendent, they're like wanting answers. They're like, why was he picked? Why was Dr. Girl not picked? Please explain this to us. How are we going to tell children? Do you want us to hold an assembly? Do you want us to put it on the announcements? Because at this point, it's 7:55 a.m. Class starts at 8:10. So we have 15 minutes to figure out how the fuck we're going to handle this. I am not joking. He doesn't hang up from the call. He stands up and walks away because he had his camera on. He's like, I wish I could be there, but we have this leadership conference. So he said leadership conference probably like 10 times and then just ignored everything in the chat, stood up, walked away. And then I didn't say anything, but people kept talking. And then someone was like, I don't remember who it was. It was one of like the veteran teachers at my school was like, hey guys, let's remember he's the host of this. So he could be recording it. Like, let's end this call and deal with this within our school. So like, that's how the call ended, because he literally just like abandoned the, like,
that's bizarre.
Like, when I tell you, not turned the camera off or hung up, just
like, was the intention to continue recording it? Was he being sneaky, or was he just like so frazzled that he like got up and walked away, or like, what was that?
I have no idea. And it was just like weird. Like, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I was like, this was so unprofessional. Because in my opinion, the professional way to handle that would have been call the teachers in from 7:45, have the old principal, the new principal, and the area superintendent there to make that announcement. And then instead of sending the kids to first period, have a small assembly and have the interim principal introduce the new principal. I think right. that is like the absolute normal best way and like most normal professional way to handle that.
Yeah.
So then where first period gets there, a couple of my kids already know, which kind of made it a little easier. Children are very quick on the thing. And it's also, I'm not shocked kids already knew. Tons of the teachers at my school have their own children that go there. So they get there early, like with their parents. So like the kids do immediately, basically. So the kids come in, they're freaking out. They're like, we love Dr. Girl. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Like, they're so, so upset. They're like, why? I want to say bye. Can you call her? I know you have her phone number. I just want to say bye. And they like, Dr. Girl would be in the front during the morning arrival every day. So like, they picked up on it immediately when she wasn't there. because they were like, where is she? And then they saw our body language and our vibe that we all looked a little rattled. Like, they figured it out right away. They're high schoolers. Yeah,
they know.
So I just was like, all right, guys, I know this sucks. I know you're upset. I have no more information than you. I was in that call this morning. I do not know anything about our new principal. So I showed them. I was like, I Googled him. He was the principal at a middle school for a long time. That middle school is not particularly far, but it is in a different county. I saw that the parents at that middle school really, really liked him. So I was like, all right, guys, like, let's be open-minded. And I was like, remember that he is not the one that made the decision for Dr. Girl to not be here. Like, let's just try and move on from this. And I could just, it's like first period, I could just tell something was like brewing. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of traffic in the hallways. There was lots of kids like glancing at each other and trying to be on their phones. And I was like, something's happening. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And then during second period started, because I had second period planning. And I remember I was so fucking grateful that I didn't have to deal with this. The kids had planned a specific time to walk out. And so they decided to have a protest for Dr. Girl. And that's why I had seen so much chatter, because they were working on making their signs and things of that nature. And I didn't like see this within my room, because I was like, I still continued on with my lesson for the day. But like, things were being planned and things were being plotted.
Oh my gosh.
Not in a bad way. They were making moves. Like, they were community organizing. And so I'm like in my classroom during my planning period, I like trying to work. And then I hear in the hallway, who do we want? Dr. Girl. When do we want her? Now. And I look out my door, and there in like probably about, my school has about 1,200 kids for reference. There's probably about 300 of them very calmly walking through the hallway with a big banner. But I don't mean to insult children, but this was just so funny. It had the quote, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. But instead of putting the quote as Shirley Chisholm, they put it as Dr. Girl, because she taught them that quote. And I think they forgot that it wasn't her original.
Love them.
It was like that, you know, in The Office where it's like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yes. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Like, that's what it was giving. I wish I could show you guys a picture of the sign. Somehow they had large printed photos of her for like her like professional headshot. Like, they printed it out on a very large color paper. So like, I don't know what adults were involved in this, but no adults were walking with the kids. Clearly someone let them use a printer. But, and we art supplies, but I don't know.
Someone.
I don't know who. I don't know why. And so the kids, they're doing their thing. They're walking. It was primarily the juniors and the seniors, because they're the ones that know her much better. So when I say I was grateful, what I was grateful for is that the walkout happened during my planning period. So I was grateful to not be in the position of like, do I mark them absent? Do I go with them? Like, what? Because again, I at this point was on like my temporary certificate still, like I hadn't re-signed my new contract and stuff. So I like, and it was very much student led. Like I said, didn't know what was happening till it was already happening. So I just like leave my door open and I'm like watching them. Yeah, do your thing. And then they start marching outside and they're picking up more children as they're marching. So by now it's about 450. And at this point, we're maybe an hour in. They spent the first 30 minutes like walking around the school. It was slowly getting bigger. And when I say like, they were not running, they were not screaming, they were not trampling each other. Like, they were just walking. Our building's like a square. They were just walking up and down and around. And like, it got so big that it was like the tail of the line reached the beginning. So like, it was just a lot of them. And then I don't know at what point the area superintendent showed up. I guess someone called him about this. And I'll give you context. Our school resource officer, like the school cop, all he was doing was standing there and like following them. Like, he was like, I'm just going to follow them. Like, he wasn't intervening in any way. He wasn't telling them to keep going or stop. But he was, like, very prevalent in the building while this was going on. Definitely, like, walking around. Same with our security. I felt like it was a very, like, exactly what a protest should be. Like, they were all very aligned. They had signs. We want our voices heard. Why didn't you ask us? Like, things like that. And so what I'm about to talk about, I did not witness. I did see pictures and videos of it, but I was at the back end of the school and this happened at the front office. So the kids are marching. They decide they want to march outside. They're going to march outside to be on the street, not in the street, but like our little front grass thing so that the cars can see their signs. And then the kids called some of their parents, and then parents wanted to show up, and then the news wants to find out and all the things. So the kids decide they're going to start walking outside. Some parents are already out there. The area superintendent tries to block the front doors with his body and says, you're not going outside. If you go outside, you're getting 10 days of OSS. Starts screaming at the kids about the handbook and how this is technically them cutting class and they will be facing the highest consequences for it. Well, I'm trying to explain like the layout of this. So like there's the front office and that's where the front doors are. Like, but if you turn a corner, there's like a bunch of classrooms. Apparently all the teachers were just standing at the doors of their classrooms. Like they were not marching with the kids, but they were just standing at the door. Apparently the area superintendent, the kids are starting to push him out of the way because it is 500 against one at this point. He starts banging on the glass doors and screaming at the teachers, stop them, help me, why are none of you helping me? I'm writing down your names, help me, help me. So like, in my opinion, just very dramatically escalating the situation. I think if we had all just stepped aside and let them walk outside, it probably would have been an hour of them marching around the school and then they probably would have packed it up and come back inside. So he starts...
I'm reading the texts from the day that this happened.
Oh my God, what do they say?
I think I'm going to have to cut part of it out. But it says, we're getting a new principal. Ariel, the kids are protesting and running through the halls with a sign and chanting and trying to walk out. And they are trying to lock them in. I said, get a GoPro on your body right now. Strap it to your head like the Google Maps car and get in there, bitch. And then you sent me a picture of them going down the hallway with the banner. You said, literally door locked, curtains on, we are learning.
Because at this point, third period has started. So let me get you up to speed of where we're now at in these text messages. So it's still second period. We can leave most of that in. So at this point, we're still in second period. We're on block schedule, so our periods are an hour and a half long. The kids get past the area superintendent because, again, 500 teenagers against one man. And they did not assault him. They literally just, like... It's a school. There's six front doors. Like, they just went around. Like, it was...
Summer break is here, and while kids are thrilled to hit pause on school, you might be wondering how to keep their brains engaged without turning your living room into a classroom. Whether your child is catching up, staying sharp, or racing ahead, IXL makes learning a seamless and honestly fun part of your summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already using. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade, and it is proven to boost test scores in almost every state. Personalized, engaging, and designed to actually help kids understand what they're learning, not just memorize it. In our house, we love IXL because it's bite-sized practice that fits into our day. Whether your child needs extra help or just wants a challenge, IXL adapts to their level, personality, and pace so they feel supported and confident. It works for all your kids, too. One subscription covers everything from ABCs to calculus, and it's more affordable than a single hour of tutoring. With built-in explanations, videos, and clear progress tracking, it's trusted by the best. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at www.ixl.com/today. Visit www.ixl.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep. shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
And those doors don't lock from the inside for, like, fire reasons. Like, so, and he's yelling, lock the doors, lock the doors. And I'm like, so we're this isn't the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, so we're not going to do that.
I said, it's a lockdown, but you lock them in, which is essentially what he was trying to do.
Well, they put the lockdown thing on, and I was like, they're not going to listen, but okay. So the kids are outside. I do not know how they obtained a microphone and speaker. So that's what
somebody on the inside is helping them. Not only were they using the printer,
yes,
they have equipment.
So that's why I was like, okay, because there were no adults helping them. There was security and the school police officers standing there, but like the adults were not chanting. So I was like, very much someone's helping you from the inside. The students are very appropriately for a student-led protest. So they're in a circle around the flagpole. The seniors are taking turns on the microphone talking about Dr. Girl and why they think she should be principal. The superintendent calls more police. So more, not police, but school police are starting to arrive. Now we're at about like 3 to 4 police officers here. The superintendent goes up to one of the girls who's on the microphone, who this is a AP scholar, honor roll, cheerleading, dance, like one of the girls that's super involved in the school. Grabs the microphone out of her hand, says, you're getting 10 days of OSS. She grabs it back and said, I have a right to free speech. You are not going to trample on my rights. You can give me 10 days of OSS if you want to. And
wow,
continues on the microphone. And I was like,
I love her.
I was not witnessing this with my eyes, but I naturally, half the kids are on Instagram Live. Some of them showed me videos of it later. Like, what do you want me to tell you? I work there. I'm in the know. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then a lot more police show up. A lot. And this, my student that we interviewed shared this with me, but again, I did not see it, but I believe it. They start threatening the kids with pepper spray. They say, we are going to start pepper spraying you if you do not go back in the building. I have seen pepper spray used at my school on more than one occasion. The only times I've seen it be used is when there are like 5+ kids fighting and we have tried to break it up and cannot. And it just is escalating. So then they start like corralling the kids back in the building. So now the kids start getting angry. They're starting to like tear the signs and like things are just escalating rather intensely. This is when I started texting you that I was like, people are running through the hallways because like they would try and corral the kids. One would get away and just take off sprinting. Like it was quite possibly one of the worst examples of crowd management I've seen in my entire life. Like the lack of de-escalation skills, especially when before like adults started intervening, it truly was so like a model for a peaceful protest. So I'm just kind of there and I'm like, wow. Like I'm just processing. And then third period starts, the bell rings. They're trying to corral the kids back into the school. So what they decide to do is put all the protesters in the gym and let the kids who were not protesting go to their next class. And so a lot of children do not like going to class. So then a bunch of ninth graders were not really a part of it because they've only been at the school for 2 months. They all run out of their classes because they want to get put in the gym with all the big kids. So now instead of it being 500 upperclassmen, it's now probably 700 kids. Half of them are like, who's Dr. Girl? Like literally not even. So that's when I texted you where I was like, curtains are closed, door is locked, because I had, in my third period, I think I had like 27 kids, 12 of them showed up. And so I was like, let's do our thing. And the 12 that showed up are kids that are like very quiet and very, very introverted. So I felt like they weren't really showing up as like a, I'm not a part of that. But they were more just like, that's not my vibe. I just want to have like a normal, quiet time. So I like kind of scrapped my lesson for the day and came up with something kind of easy and creative for us to do. And was like, we're just going to stay.
The texts say that you guys watch Harriet.
Well, that is what we did. We started watching Harriet, and there was like a little easy assignment with it. That was like a timeline thing they did.
I said, I wish you could have seen my phone screen when I was typing the spy and then deleted it when I realized what you actually meant. And I said, but Harriet Spy is also a great backup option.
Yeah. So I was like, let's have an educational movie rock star day. And we are just like, this is what's happening. So then the kids that didn't show up start showing me on their phone what's happening in the gym. And it is...
I'm so glad you did not listen and go to the gym.
Well, they never wanted me to go to the gym, I don't think.
It said...
Oh, they did say, like, teachers report to the gym.
They told all staff to go to the gym. And I made the executive decision to stay in my room because my kids came to class.
Yes.
So I didn't want more kids to be in the gym. And now I'm very glad I didn't listen. And I'm so glad you didn't listen.
Because, like I said, pretty much most of the other kids in the school were there. But class period, I had AP students. Like I said, lots of them were very shy.
Your AP kids should not be in there.
They were, like, half of them were. Because they were some of the ones, like, doing the protest in the right way. But then... they start putting all the kids in the gym. So then in the gym, it is a mix of the upperclassmen who very peacefully started this protest and are very upset that they're being put in the gym and they want to be let back into class. And then there is the entire ninth grade class who's like, the gym, we're in the gym.
Oh my God.
So they basically start mosh pitting. I don't want to say fighting because like no one got hurt, and I saw the Instagram lives and it was more mosh pitting than fighting. And so it's like a bunch of the teachers, all the security, six cops. The cops are screaming, we're gonna pepper spray you, we're gonna pepper spray you. The security is like, let's bring it down, like let's try and calm down. And then the kids are like trying to like get in groups and like run at the police officers to try and knock them over. And then the kids start like ripping things off the walls, like the gym posters and mats and things like that. Like it just, like I said, if you have a group of emotionally escalated people, the worst possible thing you could do is gather them all in one location and then lock the door. Because then the upperclassmen start banging on the door, yelling, let me go to class, let me go to class. And that's when I was like, we've lost the plot. Like we have, like just, the whole thing was so avoidable. Like the whole thing.
I cannot believe, oh my God. It couldn't be handled worse. And then they left you there alone to handle it, to deal with it.
The area superintendent did leave. The police stayed. Sometime in third period, they did start to like de-escalate things. Kids started to go back to class, but the police stayed the entire day. We were on lockdown for the rest of the day. So I had my third period kids with me for the rest of the day. We watched Harriet and then probably some other stuff. Like it was a complete waste of a day. No instruction happened that day, I'm confident. Like it was just horrific. And then in this moment, I also was like, I feel so bad for our incoming principal because none of this is his fault.
Right.
Like this is quite literally the worst way to set up your new hire. And I was like, if I was him and I found out about this, because he was actually supposed to come to our school that day to visit and meet and they canceled it. And think about what I had said earlier, like if they had had him come in the morning and had Dr. Girl like do a handoff, I think we'd be living in a very different universe right now. So that happens. And I'm like, cool, 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 cool. And then we go on our little mini break, which was very much needed. And then we come back and I'm like, now what? Like literally, I was like, now what? Like, now what do we? Okay. And so like, I'm trying to be like so open-minded. Everyone is trying to speak so negatively about our new principal. And I'm just trying to remind myself like, this is not his fault. This is not his fault. Like me going into this with a negative mindset is only going to hurt myself. Like, let me just see how he handles this, like how it goes. I do not know this man. But the thing that I was really holding on to was that when he left his previous school to come to us, the parents were pissed. They were like telling the district to get him back. So I was like, okay, if parents are rallying for you, that's like a very green flag. So I'm trying to be open-minded. He comes in, introduces himself, brings a bunch of snacks for the PLC room. He says, like, I know it's really awkward to have a principal come in late October, so I'm not going to make any changes this semester. I just want to observe the school and get to know everyone. So I'm like, okay, We're cool. We're cool. We're living. We're laughing. And I don't remember the exact timing of this, but it was around the time that the protest happened and the principal happened and all of that, that they changed our PLCs. So now instead of it just being like, you got to come in here and work on what you need to work on, we started having to fill out KUD charts with KUD charts, which is no understand do. So you have to break down your standard and like explain it. We also had to start filling out student data things. And then we also like, they just added a lot more stuff that I later found out our math department had already been doing, and we like everyone was supposed to be doing it from the beginning of the year, but because it was new, our admin was like, let's roll it out in one department to work out the kinks first. But then I think when we got our new principal, the area superintendent was like, no, everyone's supposed to be doing that. And the area superintendent, from the rumors I heard, he was the one driving the PLC thing, because a couple people at my school said, oh, he was my AP at this other school and he like loves PLC. It's like his number one passion. And my district has this, I guess, I don't know what to call it. A lot of our administrators are former special education teachers, but not the MOID teachers who have like their own group of students that are not in the gen ed classroom. A lot of our administrators were co-teachers. And I've never been a co-teacher. I know there's a lot of difficult things about working in special ed that I'm not privy to. You have much more to do with parents, writing IEPs, all of that. But one piece that I've really noticed is that administrators who have never been a content area teacher, I think, don't understand how difficult it is to plan and grade for that many students. And I've noticed that administrators who have been content area teachers will protect our planning time, and administrators who have only ever been co-teachers do not. And I think it's a different kind of pressure to show up every day, and it's all on your shoulders of what these kids are doing for the full 8 hours of the day. Because if you're a co-teacher, your job is to plan accommodations, not the actual lesson. And I understand that's its own thing and has its own challenges, but I just feel like having a very dominantly co-teacher admin staff, like they just don't understand the logistics behind a gen ed teacher's day-to-day job, which was very prevalent in these decisions that were being made regarding our planning time, is like how I felt. So then I'm losing even more planning time. I'm doing even more paperwork. Like, things are not good. I'm very much unwell. They're making lots of changes. They're like, the kids can't go to the bathroom. You can do this many passes. They said they were gonna, I'm like sparing you guys a lot of details because it's honestly pretty non-consequential and boring, but it was like, we're getting new hall passes. So the guy didn't come through. We're not getting them. We're putting the school in zones. We put up the signs, but then we never followed up about it. Like, I was just watching so many things try and happen, and then they just didn't, while I was also losing planning time every week. And not only did I have the PLC thing going on, second period was often getting cut. That is my planning period, or was my planning period last year. And lots of things were happening where, like, randomly we would do standardized testing with no warning, or randomly we have a guest speaker with no warning. So one of my colleagues tracked it, so I don't know if she was right, but it sounded right. Last school year, we lost 19 second periods. That means I lost 19 planning periods in the school year.
And if a kid missed that many days, they would be considered truant and would be sent to court.
Yeah.
But they are removing that from you.
Yeah. And so my data dropped by about 25%. And I was giving the same test I had the year before and using the same materials for the most part. And I was turning into a teacher I don't like to be. I was getting so overstimulated every day that I just wanted to sit at my desk and had the kids leave me alone. Like, my poor third period, whenever I would come from PLC, I was so overstimulated and so frustrated and so cranky that I like literally didn't even want to help them with their work. I barely taught writing at all the first semester because I didn't have any time to actually sit down and plan a writing workshop like from scratch and do a good job of it. I was using ChatGPT all the time and actively getting dumber. And like, I just felt like my instruction was like plummeting, and it was like breaking my heart, because to me, children learning the history of our country is so important. And like, I know I'm so good at doing that, and I felt so throttled. And like, throttled is the best way I can describe it, because I felt like I was just ready to run and go and crush it. And every time I tried to run and go and crush it, I would just get like bitch slapped with some kind of problem, and I just like wanted to lay on the ground and not get up. And so then around December, they're like, we're not going to, like, the first week of December, they're like, we're not going to do any PLCs for the rest of the year because we want to, like, restructure how we do them. Instead of doing PLCs, mine were Mondays and Wednesdays, but every department was different. They said, instead of that, we're going to do PDs for an hour on Fridays during your planning. And I was like, cool. I actually didn't mind that. Even though I make fun of PD all the time, I prefer sitting in PD over PLC because sitting in PD, I can actually get work done. But in PLC, when there's like five conversations happening at once, and I know this is like very diva of me, but the chairs in the PLC room were fucking uncomfortable. And the chair in my classroom was $200 and I paid for it. So I would like to sit in it.
Absolutely. As you should.
And so during the PDs, some of them were stupid, but I was like, whatever. I would just kind of ignore it and work on my laptop. And then, this wasn't in the PDs. This was in the PLC. So also around like November, I think, like I had mentioned, I had come to the conclusion, I cannot plan during PLCs. So what I started doing was grading during PLCs. For me, grading does not take nearly as much mental power as planning does. So I would show up with, I had like a little bag, I would bring a stack of papers and grade. And that's what I did. I would make my, on the Monday PLCs, I would go make all my copies for the week. And on the Wednesday PLCs, I would do all my grading that was on paper. So like any little easy activities we did. So I felt like even though I was not doing well, I was overstimulated. I felt like I had kind of gotten in a groove where I was like starting to manage my workload at least a little bit better. Like things were marginally improving. And then we started doing the Friday PDs and I was like, okay. We get an email that says it's a school-wide email. I felt like it was about me because during PLC, I would sit alone at a table and I'd get there early so I could spread all my papers out so no one else would sit down. So I felt like it was directed at me and I would have appreciated it if they had just called me or came to my room and like, hey girl, what's going on? Because like I said, I was very much struggling. They send a school-wide email. Because after I started bringing all my papers and grading, other people started doing the same thing. So after like the third week of that, they send this email that says, this is a reminder that PLC is not a time to grade papers. It's a time to collaborate with your colleagues. In all caps, grading should happen on your own time. And I don't know if they meant your own time as in non-PLC days, but I don't think they did. Because if they meant that, they would have said it. I think what they meant is after school.
Oh my God.
And again, in part of the PLCs, we're supposed to be analyzing student data. And for me, analyzing student data, I don't like, maybe I'm just the most beautiful genius. I don't need to fill out a chart. If I'm looking at the test results or grading the work, mentally, I'm like, okay, a lot of them are struggling with evidence. And I don't need to know that it's 53 of them struggling with evidence or 56 of them struggling with evidence. Just, I can like, I'm with them every day. I'm picking up their needs and responding. Like, I noticed a lot of my kids were really struggling with evidence when I graded their essays. So I created bell ringers where we did defending your opinion about like, is a hot dog a sandwich? Is cereal soup? And they'd have to explain. It's like, I was already doing these things. So it to me felt very insulting to me as a professional to be asked to write a graphic organizer about why and how I was doing them, especially when the previous year I had been commended by admin for doing a great job of that. They took my lesson, showed it to other teachers, and had me do PD about it. So I was like, I feel like I've proven that like I can do my fucking job, so leave me alone. So that email really pissed me the fuck off. And then like 2 weeks later, we're in one of those PD things because they say no more PLC for December. We're going to do PD on Friday instead. They announced they want us to start doing common assessments. They want us to be giving at least one assessment per week that's the same as the other people teaching the same thing as us. It has to be in this specific testing platform because that's what the district paid for. Because apparently we'd been paying tons of money for this platform that no one was using. So that's why the district said now you have to use it. You're not allowed to do that in your own way. Because the previous year, we were required to give assessments and we were supposed to send them in and like put them in our lesson plan folder. But they told us like, you can do it however you want. So like I would use the test mode on quizzes because I really like the way they format their reports. And like, I took the questions from the State Department of Education and I put them into quizzes. So like I was doing the correct types of assessments. I was just using a platform that worked well on any device. The reports were easier for me to understand. So I say, you have to use this new platform and you are not allowed to upload your own questions. You have to use our questions, which again, like I struggle here because a lot of the work I was seeing my students get in other class was way too easy and not holding them to high expectations. So I was like, yeah, I understand. Like if I was superintendent and I was seeing a test for high schoolers that was three true false questions, that's not okay. Like clearly these teachers need more support and training. So I wasn't even necessarily against us having common assessments and having rigorous assessments. I was just frustrated because they're forcing us to use a platform that's making it harder to do the thing I was already doing. You know, because like me and the other US history teacher were using the quizzes, common assessments. We got the questions, like we were objectively doing what we were supposed to. Our data was reflecting that. So being told now you have to use this other platform, make new tests. The reports were much harder to use, much harder to understand. And no one could give me any reason other than, well, that's what the district wants. So I'm in this session where we're learning about these common assessments. The way they tagged my subject's questions were wrong. So they... You have your standard and then you have your element. Do you know what that means?
Like the standard and then the little substandard is the element?
Yes. I called them substandard and my principal literally cut me off mid-sentence and goes, they're elements.
Oh, well.
I said, okay. Because I was trying to explain our questions were not tagged by standard. They were only tagged by element. And then, which is fine. It was actually kind of helpful in the search part of it. But they were telling me you need to have three to five questions covering what you did the last few weeks. So I was trying to say, like, because it's by element, I can either do everything we covered or three to five questions. Like, do you want me to put everything on there and make it longer? Or do you want me to just pick what I think is important and make it shorter? And they said, well, you shouldn't be covering that many standards that fast. That's crazy. And I said, well, the reading coach or reading instructional coach, whatever title this is, looks at me and goes, Miss Redacted, you put five standards on one assessment. You're setting your kids up to fail. I have 35 standards to cover in one semester. And so I got upset and I said, that's how my instruction's designed. And I pulled up my instructional calendar to show if I'm doing the assessments every other week, like you said, I cover two to three standards per week. And then she immediately backpedaled and goes, I don't know social studies. I've only ever taught ELA. ELA has 12 standards. So we usually do one every week or so. I don't know. Just do what you think is best. Do what you think. Like immediately starts panicking. I was being a massive bitch in this session. Like I apologize to everyone that was in this room with me. There were a bunch of math teachers and multiple people checked on me afterwards because I was just getting so frustrated and so angry because like I came into it being like, you're asking me to do this thing. How am I going to do this effectively with my students? And they did not have a single answer to any question I had. So when I was like, hey, a ton of the kids are missing Chromebooks and this platform doesn't work on their phones, what should I do? No answer. When I was like, hey, it's tagged by element, not standard. How would you like me to handle that? No answer. When I said, hey, for my AP class, there's no questions in here for that. Would you like me to upload some? We're not supposed to upload. You're supposed to just use what's in there. So should I give my students questions that are not aligned to their curriculum? Because my AP kids have completely different standards than my Gen Ed kids. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. So I was just like, you guys are putting all this on me, but are not willing to have a professional conversation with me about implementing it. Like, I felt like you should be happy that I'm trying to implement it. Like, me having questions is showing I'm trying to understand you and do this right. And all I am getting, I got an email after that was not just to me, but was not to everyone, because other people were echoing me in the meeting, that said, we want to remind you all to be professional and open-minded. Like when we do new things, remember that we're doing this for our students and to put like your own personal feelings aside, which also really pissed me off because I was like, I'm trying to communicate to you that this is going to make it more difficult for my students. And then I said, so my district, because US history is standardized tested, I was already having to give assessments that my district made. So I said, am I doing this instead of those assessments? Am I doing this in addition? And they said, in addition to. So I said, so now that's about a third of my time is going to be spent giving assessments. So to be told that I'm being close-minded, I just felt like very insulted by that. And so I just felt like I was like reaching kind of like a breaking point where I felt like I was being impeded from giving good instruction. And like, I am okay with problems. Like, I'm a problem solver. You guys have seen me on the internet. Like, I didn't have computers. I crowdfunded tablets for my room. A ton of my kids are food insecure. I have snacks every single day. Our Wi-Fi goes out. I got unlimited data so that I could still teach. You gave me one ream of paper for a month. I became famous on the internet so that I could get all the paper that I need. So I felt like it was like every time I have a problem, I solve it on my own. But every time I come to you with a problem, somehow I'm the problem still. And I was... Now looking back, I'm realizing none of these initiatives were well planned out. The people I was getting mad at did not have answers to my questions, and they were reacting so negatively to me because I think they felt very like embarrassed when I would ask those questions in a very passionate, pointed way. Like I am going to take accountability for like tone and verbiage and things like that. Like it could have been better, but also I don't think I was wrong for my concerns. I think I was just wrong to expect help. So I was just at this point at like the end of the fall semester that like my data's horrible. I was super stressed. I wasn't working out like I like to. I wasn't eating healthy like I like to. We were barely recording the podcast. I didn't feel comfortable talking about any of this on the internet. I would a little bit, but I was like my old admin, I felt like loved me and would ride for me. And I just felt like we had a completely new admin team except for one person who is my literal light in the dark. And I just felt horrible. And I was just so upset because I was like, how am I back here? Like, you guys know what I went through at my last school. And I was like, I'm here again. How did this happen? And I was just so hurt because I was like, I worked so hard to find a good school. Like, I interviewed multiple places. I did so much research and I finally felt like I made it. And I really just felt like the rug was completely ripped from under me. Like, I felt like I was like drowning. And I was just like, what am I doing? Like, my instruction's getting worse. I'm not happy. I'm getting so much negative feedback. It was just like truly horrendous. And I was also spending a ton of time in therapy talking about this because I was getting so angry every day that I was spending all this time in therapy talking about this when like I literally sought therapy for other separate issues. So I was just like, I felt like I had reverted to like 23-year-old Miss Redacted when I was like, I thought I got past this. Like I thought I like dealt with my career and I was at a happy place in my career. And I was like, I just feel like I'm right back where I was years ago. And that was like a horrible, horrible feeling. So we'll leave off this episode in December of that school year. The last thing I'll say is that because I was talking about it so much in therapy, my therapist suggested, she said, you have been diagnosed with ADHD. That is documented. How about you ask for an accommodation of having solo planning time? My therapist floated that idea to me in like December of 2024. So that's where we'll pick up next time. But I really just felt like you guys needed to know everything that happened in the 6 months prior. Like, I just felt like it was so relevant.
No, it really is. It really is. And it gets more relevant as we continue.
Yes, very much so.
Right. See you guys next time.
See you next time. I promise this has a happy ending. Like, what I will say right now, it's August of 2025. I feel so happy with the job I'm in and the career I'm in and the spot that I'm in right now. So just know the next episode, things are going to get so much worse and way scarier, but it will get better. And if I lived through it, you can listen through it.
Amen. Well, toodaloo.